We read from Titus chapter 3. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Thank you for these words of truth, O Lord. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Great things come in small ways. Ask any of the young ladies here who maybe had a privilege a month ago or so of opening a tiny little box with a nice gem inside. Great things come in small ways. When we were little children, look how we enjoyed looking at the big boxes, right? If it was a birthday or Christmas time, it was always the big boxes to run to right away and open those up. As we've gotten older in life, we start to realize, yeah, it's often the small ones that count. That's very enjoyable too, and often very valuable, what's in the small ones. Maybe it's just because when we get older, as my age, it's a little more difficult to carry the things away. I don't know. Great things from our God come often in a very small way. One of the best examples of that I think of is in the Old Testament with Elijah. We're told Elijah the prophet having a terrible moment of depression. And how does it say that God came to him to strengthen him? It wasn't in an earthquake. It wasn't in the fire. You know, it wasn't in the wind. But rather it was a gentle whisper. Then we think too of the greatest example of all of this. And that is, as the text talks about right away too, when the kindness of God appeared to us, the grace appeared to us, and you know it's talking especially about Christmas, and how that great God of the universe comes in that small way, born of a poor virgin there, little town Bethlehem, laid in that lowly crib, that manger bed. What we have before us today in our text talks about another way. This is a vital way for us, and it's a great treasure. Talk about a gem coming to us in a small way. And it is through the sacrament of baptism. It's talked about as a washing of regeneration, isn't it, here? Pastors often have referred to baptism, too, not only, of course, the sacramental power that's there, but have often pointed us to baptism, and especially we think of infant baptism that way, as a wonderful example of how it really cannot be that we're saved at all by works or any merit inside human beings, but rather has to be all dependent on God's grace and mercy. Martin Luther even said it this way: when you are baptized, what else can you do but receive and accept a gracious gift? Yeah, we're very helpless without our God and his kindness and his mercy, extremely helpless. We know how it would be for a little baby at a baptismal font on some baptism Sunday that way. It would be impossible, wouldn't it, for that little baby to suddenly just expect that baby to get out of the mother's arms suddenly and start walking outside, go outside the church, do some good deed, come back in, and now demonstrate to the congregation, I'm ready to be baptized. Well, it's a picture of really what it's like for all of us. I don't care what age we are. What do we really have to offer to our God when it comes to our worthiness or merit and so on? But here's what's kind of interesting in our text. It's not only saying, you know, when it says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, it's not that way only when it comes to prior to our baptism, prior to coming to faith in Christ. But you'll notice something. You'll notice that a better translation even of this would be this: not through works in connection with righteousness which we had done. In other words, the Apostle Paul is saying here too, even after we've come to faith in Christ through baptism, even after this, we cannot look to our righteousness, our own righteousness, that is, our own good deeds, for any part of our salvation in terms of meriting that salvation. Now, I know that we know that here. We are training regularly in our classrooms. You hear the message here at chapel again and again. By grace are you saved through faith. It's not of ourselves, gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. I'm sure that when tests are given in religion department, you write out the answer there, and you know they're looking for grace alone and how important it is that depending on Christ. But at times, even though it's easy for us to write down the right answers and so on, we have to recognize, right, that there's a temptation because of the sinful side of each one of us to start to think anyway that there maybe is just a little bit to the fact that somehow do we merit things more than others in life? We can play the comparison game a little bit. And maybe it's not just with people on campus here, but just in general in the world. We're going to a Christian college. We got family connections that are pretty nice family connections usually. We maybe are pursuing a career right now that you know is not going to be a selfish type of career, but it's really there to help other people, and especially maybe even to help the real down and outers and so on. How easy it is for us maybe to be tempted, remember how the devil works, to be tempted to think that, you know, somehow we might have just a little edge on other people when it comes to the mercy of God, just because of kind of our situation in life. But the stark reality comes in, doesn't it? Whoever keeps the whole law yet stumbles at just one point, one, is guilty of breaking all of it. Whoever knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Dr. Walther put it this way: if one work from our side were necessary for salvation, we would be robbed of all comfort. Right now, as we are here in chapel, if we understand really our sinful nature before our God, yes, we're born dead in trespasses and sin, and certainly there are the active sins we commit regularly. If we understand our desperate need for the Savior, thank God that the Holy Spirit has convinced you of that through His Word. Thank God for that. That's His foreign work, though. That's His alien work. That's the work that's like a doctor coming along and making sure the patient understands the diagnosis. What the Holy Spirit really wants is to present right to you, right to your heart personally, what Christ has done for you, what the Son of God from eternity did in coming here. That is the full kindness of God in coming and living the life of perfection in your place, in mine, in coming and dying the death of the damned, in your place and mine, and then rising from the dead victoriously, over conquering death itself, the grave itself, in your place and mine. And therefore, letting us know that we have the gracious forgiveness of sins. And now here it comes. He comes to us in this real simple, bland way, you might say, as far as the world is concerned, washing of water with the word. Powerful regeneration, says the Apostle Paul. New life here. No wonder even Peter describes it in a simple verse and just says, baptism does also now save us. But our baptism is not only something that's connecting us to the cross of Christ constantly, and we hold on to that for forgiveness of sins and life everlasting in heaven. Our baptism is something of great motivation every day of our life. What an incentive it is. I'd like to tell you a little story about, the way I understand it, there's an artifact out in the State House in Albany, New York. I've never been there, though, but I've heard about this. Interesting little artifact. You know, there's a lot of talk about Lincoln lately and so on. Maybe you've been there and noticed or have heard about this, that there is a letter signed by President Abraham Lincoln. And it's signed in 1864, written to a man by the name of Roswell McIntyre. He was a defector. He had gone from the North to the South in the Civil War, but he must have come back. Lincoln gave him a pardon. And the interesting thing is, I understand about this artifact, is that on the left-hand side of the page, there's another written note. This one is dated a year later, 1865. And it says, this letter was found on the body of Mr. McIntyre when he died at the Battle of Five Forks in Virginia. Interesting illustration for us here of how it is really with baptism for us. It's kind of like our adoption papers, right? Been brought into God's holy family of believers that way. And it is a motivating force for us. It is this constant daily pardon. Drown the old Adam. He wants to pop up again, but drown him, wow, through baptism, being connected, reminding ourselves of what that's all about, the power there. And then going about our life now, yes, do we want to have an incentive for going out and doing good to others? Do we want to have something that'll spur us on a little bit at this grim time of the year when it's so cold outside and so on too, and we know we got the studies to pursue and so on? You want some motivation? How about just for your faculty, staff, any one of us, as far as going about our jobs in life, want extra motivation, incentive? Oh, look to the adoption papers. Look to this wonderful, powerful sacramental act of regeneration, washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. And didn't the Apostle Paul also say it to the Romans that way, that we were buried with him by baptism into death, that like as he was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, so also we too should walk in newness of life. Regular washing is good for our bodies, of course. The washing in the words before us are imperative for our life. Let's return in spirit to that kind of washing every morning. O Lord, grant us to grow in grace each day by holy baptism that we may eternal life inherit. Amen.